This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is a show about a dean that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Phil Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here to stay.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's Community Building Season 2, Episode 9, Conspiracy Theories and Interior Design, here on Post Show Recaps. After a tiny bit of a break, I am Josh Wiggler returning to the podcast. Or was I here the whole time and just on mute, Jess Sterling?
You know, I thought about blowing this podcast off, but I blew it off last week and I was just blowing everything up.
Unbelievable. That was me. That was me who missed a proper episode of the show, Collective Calligraphy. Apologies for that. But if you're a community completionist, a community building completionist, oh my God, is that not incentive to go all the way back to the community building origins and the Post Show Recaps patron feed, where Jess and I initially talked about Collective Calligraphy? Sign up, patreon.com/postshowrecaps, because that podcast already exists.
Yeah, go check it out.
Go check
it
out.
It was a good one.
This is a very exciting moment in time, because this is another guest who perhaps has just been on mute for most of the podcasts, because he's been on every single episode of Community Building. With a 100% hit rate, this person has joined us for literally every episode of the show. It's the truth. This is not a lie. It's not a bit. Dragon fruit. This person has been on every single episode of Community Building. And this is the part where I say, Corey B! Take us away. You can't just say take us away.
We're already gone, I guess. Are we gone?
We've been gone.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But Corey B, unmute your mic.
Yeah, normally you ask me to sing the intro and then I just have to sit there on mute the whole time. So I appreciate you letting me
talk.
Well,
you unmute yourself when I tell you to take it away.
Well, right. But then I go back on mute, is what I'm saying.
And what's happening in between podcasts? Where are you? In some sort of nebulous pocket zone?
I it's hard to tell where I am, honestly. It's it's like a different dimension or something. It's really hard to observe, you know.
Yeah.
But Corey, no, it's great
it's
to
so
be
great
here.
To actually hear your voice not singing.
I mean, I'll take that as a compliment, I guess.
I'm just a little tired of it,
I'm so
if I'm being
you
honest.
Singing.
If I'm being honest, it's just a little bit too much.
I understand.
We do community building live on Twitch on Tuesdays for the patrons of Post Show Recaps. And so it's video version. And in the video version, I'm looking at, past Corey B's shoulders and just seeing, really, it's just the one shoulder that I'm looking past, not both of them. It's the one you're wiggling. And past that, speaking of wiggling, it's a veritable treasure chest filled with wombat hats. How many wombat hats do you have on that shelf?
We've got six, although one of them is the Wombat Nation hat, which I didn't win. But the other five are earned.
Are hard-earned wombat hats. That is the reason why we're never giving wombat hats away on the Wand Off ever again. We can never let one person have all that power. Seeing
it's
it
true.
Represented visually for me, you are the king, Corey B.
And I'm happy about that, because I don't want anyone to try to come for my title. So
totally.
Totally. I'm okay with it, you know?
Does this make you feel safer as a human being moving about in the world? Yeah. Because before this, you were really looking over your wiggling shoulder for so much of your life.
That's right. Yeah. I really was.
He keeps wiggling his shoulder, folks.
Yeah, for really the audio listeners, yeah. I was wiggling my shoulder again. Yeah. I guess that's just my thing now.
It's a good thing to have.
Speaking of the video podcast, I also mentioned, Josh, you must have walked by the theater room or something on the way over here, because I clearly indicated on StreamYard that my name is Guest Guestson.
Oh. And
I'm really disappointed that you've already figured me out.
It wasn't a great disguise.
That's true. I should have at least like put on a pair of glasses or something.
Something like that.
Such a great disguise.
I'm just going to come out and say it. I love this episode. And I think that this was the easiest 4 out of 4 for me of any episode of Community that we've encountered so far. Because the ones that have been like perfect scored episodes of Community were ones that I had already encountered for the most part, or if I was doing a bit. In this case, this was one I'd never seen before. I'd never encountered it. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was incredible. This is everything this show should ever be, I felt like, and a very, very clean, perfect episode of Community as far as I'm concerned, Jess Sterling. I loved this one. I thought this was amazing. I was laughing so hard watching it last night.
I knew you'd love it. I knew this was going to be a hit for you. I was very confident that you would give this a 4, if not very close to a 4. Yeah. I knew you'd love this episode. I was happy that this is the first time that you're seeing it. It is one that crossed my mind to do in the patron days, in the patron only days. Because
this episode made it clear to me that you must have really struggled with what to put on the initial Community building
order. Now you know why it was so season 2 heavy.
Yeah, it's very hard.
This line of episodes is known as kind of like the golden age of Community. Like this, like 5-6 episode run here is like the best run Community has, at least in my opinion, in many people's opinions.
What Jess is saying is that it's all going downhill.
I'm pretty close to ready to cancel the podcast anyway.
So it's too intimidating. Yeah. Like this one was an easy win. I knew you'd love it. I will say, I'm not going to spoil my score, but whether or not it was a 4 was a little bit more difficult for me, and we'll get into it. But I think this shows what a great ensemble cast this is when you pair up people like Annie and Jeff, and then obviously the whole Troy and Abed thing, and that, you know, the pairs really make this show fantastic. An ensemble crew like this, where you could grab two people, shove them in a room, and they make magic. And I really think this is like a Dean. This is a Dean episode.
Yeah. The Dean is on fire in this one. Dean is just absolutely amazing. Corey, is this one of your favorites? Is this a Community that ranks really high for you?
I absolutely love this episode. It's definitely one of my favorites. I've never like ranked all of them together, but I adore this episode. It's one of my go-tos for sure.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. I guess I could have used more Shirley, would have been nice. Yeah. And a couple of other people would have been nice to see. But I don't think that there's anything wrong with just zeroing in on a couple of collections of characters from time to time, especially when you're going to do it excellently. You know, again, I'm just spoiling my takes on so many things. But I would say this is perfect Jeff and Annie content. It's perfect Troy and Abed content for me. The A story is really, really funny. The B story is really, really funny. I even think that Britta is used really well in this episode, even though she's in it for like 5 seconds. I think it's a really efficient 5 seconds. I don't know. I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. Joel McHale was really killing me watching this the other night. The moment when I've never seen that person before in my entire life. Just the joy on his face.
Like, I know.
I know. Is one of my all-time favorite moments of the show so far. I really enjoyed it. Just very, very excited to dig into it. And really curious to know why it wasn't like, if rating this one sounded like it was kind of tricky for you, Jess. There's certainly some relevant reasons in terms of recent events why there were portions of this episode that were really difficult to watch. We'll have to talk about that when we get to it.
Of course.
I was deeply amused. Greatly so.
And it's no surprise to anybody that the writers are Dan Harmon and Chris McKenna, because Yeah. The Chris McKenna episode is like, it's guaranteed to be a good one when he's paired up with Dan Harmon, I think. And this is like firing on all cylinders type of thing. Yeah. Like it's so shall we get into the episode proper here?
Let's do it. We want to remind everybody, of course, community at postshowrecaps.com is our feedback line. We want to hear from everybody. We've got the F community feedback section that we do in the back half of the podcast. Send your feedback in community at postshowrecaps.com. That's also where to send your ratings if you've got scores that you want to give for each and every episode of the show along the way. And then one last plug for the Post Show Recaps Patreon. As mentioned, you sign up patreon.com/postshowrecaps, and on Tuesdays you get to watch Community Building early as we are literally recording it live for the patrons of Post Show Recaps, and you get to listen to it in your podcast feed a couple of days early as well, as the podcast is initially only available for patrons of Post Show Recaps for the first couple of days before it hits the main feed. So plenty of incentive to sign up if you're a big community fan. So consider it. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps is the way. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps to support the podcast. With that said, Jess Sterling, guide us through conspiracy theories and interior design.
So right away, this episode starts off differently than most of the episodes of Community, where we see Jeff's transcript printing out. And the dean gets like giddy and he's like, cancel all my appointments.
Yeah.
The secretary is like, you don't have any.
Wishful thinking.
Yeah. What did he think he was going to go off and do? You know, what did he imagine was on his docket for the
Jeff.
Day? Yeah.
Like, I think he knew that Jeff was going to put up a fight. So yeah. I think he was just hoping preparing. For
like a game of charades or something.
Let me ask, is this an episode that plays differently when you rewatch it? I would imagine so in some ways.
Knowing the end result, kind of, yeah. But like at the same time, it's still just as fun every single time you watch it.
Yeah, because you don't, it's really hard to piece together what happens, even at the end, right?
Well, so, I was going to say.
We get a breakdown. One of the patrons sent in what he believes to be the correct breakdown of events, which I did save because Eric Divestein is a genius and hopefully he's correct.
It looks good to me.
I needed help. So this was the thing I was going to ask is like, do you watch it differently when you know what actually happened at the end of the episode? But I also could imagine the scenario where you watch this multiple times and you still don't know what happened.
Oh, that's me 100%. Yeah. I could watch this 5 times and first of all, I have a bad memory. Second of all, it's also difficult to piece together even when you know what's going to happen.
Yes.
Which is so amazing.
It is. So we start off in the study room and Annie is making another diorama. It's called Alternative Energy, the Key to a Brighter Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
All the animals are wearing sunglasses because it's literally a brighter tomorrow.
And the car just, Corey just so nonchalantly just moving on the path so unglamorously. Already I was in.
Oh,
it's just such a slow drive.
It's fantastic. It looks very genuine, and you know, it does look very, very like lovingly put together, though.
Yeah.
No, yeah, and he's big on the dioramas, and apparently this afternoon in the cafeteria they're having a bio diorama rama or bio diorama rama. I'm not sure. And she heard one kid made a diorama about a world without dioramas.
Well, that's terrifying.
I feel like that would be. That's like almost a missed opportunity for Jeff to just come with a poster board or something and be like, this is my diorama about a world without dioramas. And it's just nothing.
Horrifying concept.
Yeah. It is scary though. I agree.
I love all the dioramas.
Were you diorama people?
No, I wasn't.
We didn't really have to do that a lot for school. It was mostly like when I was a kid, it was like big on like the poster board.
Yeah.
Stuff.
The trifold poster. That's where I was at. Yeah.
But now it's like all PowerPoint, you know, like, or maybe not even PowerPoint. I don't even know what the kids are.
Well, let me ask you this. Do we live in the world without dioramas, or are they an endangered species at the very least?
Do they still make, when you're going to get like when fancy people are getting like buildings built, do they still make little models? Are those considered dioramas?
Yeah, that's a diorama.
But I think we're still safe. Do they not make those anymore?
I think they do sometimes.
I think they do. It's like a house for ants. Isn't that like a movie?
You know when they make one because...
What movie do you think that is, Jess?
Is it Dodgeball?
Okay.
No. It's not Dodgeball. I'm sorry. I don't know what it's from.
I just had
but
to
it
ask.
Has that guy. It has the guy.
Who do you think the guy is?
See, it's Ben Stiller, right?
Oh my God, thank God.
Okay. I was like, I was nervous. I know he's from the Meet the Parents with the whole, like, yeah, I have nipples. Yeah. Can you milk me, Greg? Like, I know that.
Yes.
Nailed it. I know myself.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
So dioramas only exist for the fancy people building their buildings. So dioramas are an elitist game now.
Yes.
I think so.
Yeah,
you always know. I was gonna say, you always know when they make one because they'll put it on display in the lobby.
Yeah,
when they do.
Yeah,
you know,
because they spent probably a lot of money on it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure they did.
They're fancy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Troy and Abed are gonna have a sleepover. It's gonna be a blanket fort party.
Yes, it is, and they want to start the sleepover now. So they decide they're gonna build a blanket fort, and Abed invites Britta, but she says she's gonna find something more grown up to do. I just love Troy's retort of, okay, enjoy eating fiber and watching The Mentalist.
Wow. Such a good line. Simon Baker stands are shook at this point. My gosh. That's The Mentalist.
Oh, okay.
It's good. Yeah, it's good to know.
I don't know who that is.
Sorry. Do you think that Britta is like a fiber gummy or like a fiber like capsule? Like
I think it's just straight. Straight like brand from the box.
Yeah, oh, she doesn't mess around with gummies. She can't afford that. Yeah.
But he said what eating fiber. Like? So like, are you eating it? I guess if you're like scooping it from the box, then it's
she's eating a brand muffin because she thinks that chocolate chip muffins are for kids.
Yeah. That tracks. That's
yeah. Like just straight Special K. That's it.
I like the Special K with vanilla almonds. That's the stuff.
All right.
You had that? It's good stuff.
Okay, Jeff.
It's like adult Frosted Flakes.
Okay. All right. Enjoy that with your binge of The Mentalist.
Shirley says that Britta should be nicer. Britta says, asks, who wants to hang out in a blanket fort with grown men in tiny underoos? And the dean, of course, enters at this moment.
He would.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Also, underoos. Like, have you ever heard anybody refer to underwear as underoos?
Not in a serious way.
Yeah, same.
And Corey has a child. Corey, does your child say underoos?
No. No. Okay. My child does not say that, and I don't think would understand what that word meant.
Yeah. How would you react if your son came to you, Corey, and said, Dad, I've misplaced my underoos? What would you say? That's how he phrases it too. Exactly. That's verbatim. Dad, I've misplaced my underoos.
I've misplaced my underoos. Yeah, I would probably be as hesitant as I am right now to try to figure out what to tell you.
Sure.
I have no idea. I think someone would have possessed him. Hard to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's fair.
So the dean says he was looking over Jeff's class schedule, and he says, maybe it was a random spot check. Maybe it was a specific spot check. Maybe I'm making a scrapbook.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not going to be getting credit for his independent study, which is conspiracy theories in U.S. history. He says the class doesn't exist, and neither does the teacher. Professor Professorson.
And so in this moment, just to chart my journey through the episode since I watched it for the very first time, my feeling was that this was going to turn out that the class was real and that Professor Professorson was going to be real. So in this moment, because Jeff isn't saying anything, I'm thinking that he is going to say, I don't know why you're all dragging me. The class is real.
Yeah.
And that we were going to go and find out that indeed the class is real.
I will also say, Jeff, I believe Jeff does a really good job here of selling it.
Yes.
I think that it's not like a paper thin defense. You know, he's really emotionally present in his defense there. I think he does a good job.
I agree. I think he's pretty confident, and he stays confident and measured throughout the whole exchange.
Yeah.
And the dean is upset because he's going to have to audit an entire system for shenanigans, which means bye-bye writing at Starbucks till a certain Persian barista asked me about my novel, which we will learn more about later.
Yeah, we're going to find out all about the dean's novel. Did they make the dean's novel available for purchase anywhere?
I don't think so, but I would love to read it. Marketing opportunity. I know.
Absolutely. Yep. I don't even think it goes anywhere in a future episode, which is very
This sad. Is it. This is the book. It's just in
I
this
think
one.
So.
I think so. I don't think it's like a Michael Scott Office situation.
Oh, no. Sure. Sure.
And I would rather read this book than Threat Level Midnight. I mean, they both seem really nice, but this seems like a really fun book.
Yep.
So Annie is very upset with Jeff. And Jeff says he's been meeting with this professor every Wednesday all semester, So the dean insists that Jeff lead him to the professor.
Jeff's like happy to. Mm-hmm. And so he gets up. And so I'm figuring, okay, we got to he cannot be so bold as to not have this at least prepared with a real human being about to show up.
Yeah. And the dean says, okay, great. And Annie says she has to see this. So she follows him. And I love the dean's line of, I've always dreamt of playing charades with you, just not like this and not on dry land.
Not on dry land is a great addition to that. Really, really good.
Meanwhile, we're in Abed's dorm, and they're in their pajamas in a blanket fort. And they both say, you know, we're too big for this fort. Well, if we put two pillows higher in the corner, we could vault the ceiling, bump up the square footage, and make this a blanket fort for men.
Yeah. And then what do they say?
They do like these noises. Babu gabu boogie.
I wish we could do that as a synchronized.
It's like
maybe in rounds would be good.
Yeah. It's like beatboxing.
Yeah. I think it's supposed to resemble beatboxing.
Corey, could you integrate that into a future community building theme song, perhaps?
Like I'll take the audio of Jess doing it, and I'll incorporate it.
Yeah, please do, and thank you as well.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
So meanwhile in the hallway, Jeff brings the dean to Professor Professorson's office, and of course it's just a janitor's closet. And Jeff looks shocked. This is now the part where
I think now Jeff is leading them on.
Yeah.
And that now that the rest of the episode is going to be Jeff really trying to sell that this class is real and someone has framed him and all of this stuff. That's the direction that I think this is going.
Okay, so what happens then? Where does your mind go when Professor Professorson introduces himself?
I'm really excited to meet this character and to find out more about the conspiracy class, but I'm a little bit lost on what the rest of the episode is going to be. Maybe that Jeff and Professor Professorson are going to bring Annie in on some sort of national treasure inspired scavenger hunt of conspiracy, which is kind of in some ways sort of the vibe of the episode. It does have that vibe of we're going to steal the Declaration of Independence and go to Mount Rushmore and do all sorts of other crazy things.
So Professor Professorson shows up. The dean can't believe it. He says, oh, it's an actual conspiracy to round out your education and conspiracies and theories thereof.
Yeah.
And one of the best lines is he says his original name was Professor Berg, but they changed it when fleeing from the Nazis. So the dean, of course, is like, oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I'm blanking on the name of the actor. I'll look him up real quick, but he's been in a bunch of stuff. He was in, was it Grounded for Life? That mm-hmm. He was in.
I'm he plays the sure. uncle.
Yeah, he's the uncle in Grounded for Life. He's Kevin Corrigan is the actor. Wow. He has a small but memorable role early on in The Departed. So this is at any time this actor shows up, I'm always interested. So I love this character. If not for Dean being so great in this episode, Professor Professorson would be a pretty easy Dean's List candidate.
Yeah, absolutely. Agreed.
Yeah.
So the dean apologizes and he says he primarily teaches night school. He gives the dean his ID, which looks apparently legit.
Which, by the way, it says Professor P. Professorson.
So what do you think? What's his first name?
Peter.
Professor also? Professor Professor Peter. Professorson?
Probably.
Yeah. There's no real name that starts like pro.
Well,
pro.
Corey, is your real name Guestson, or are you the guest whose name is Guestson?
Both, actually. Yeah, Guest G. Guestson.
Yes, yeah. So I think it's Professor Professor Professorson.
That would make sense. I'm actually going to edit my name here. Visual people.
Yeah, Guest G. Guestson.
Yeah,
he's arrived.
So Professor Professorson's phone rings, and he has to leave. And he says, thank you for indulging me, Dean. Jeff, read chapters 10 through 12 of Douglas and see you next week. That is, if I still exist.
Ooh.
So now we learn that the Dean's book is titled Time Desk, The Chronicles of Dean Dangerous.
I need to know more. That cannot be it. We never find out about Dean Dangerous again?
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure we don't.
I feel like I would remember.
Time Desk, a time traveling desk?
Yeah.
Sounds like something we all would want.
Yes. I would love a time desk.
Very much so.
Time desk sounds appetizing. I mean, I don't know. That I don't want to eat it.
Well, I was going to say. Like
in a figurative sense.
Yeah.
It's I mean, you could put all your stuff on the desk when you time travel. Because that would be one of my biggest criticisms with time travel is that you, where do you put all your stuff? You know, like you got to bring
stuff. Are
you naked? Well, I don't know. That's a good question too. Like, can
do your clothes travel with you? Because that's embarrassing.
But even if they do, you gotta like bring like a suitcase or a backpack or something with you.
And you could look really out of style if you go to like, depending on how far you're going.
Depends on you gotta be ready.
What rules are you using? The Terminators were always naked when they were traveling through time.
It's unfortunate, but he's like, I mean, he's not a bad looking guy to be naked.
Yeah, the Terminators were always nakes, and then Marty McFly wasn't. He still had the bubble vest in the 50s.
Where would you go if you could time travel?
Oh, so many different options.
I'd want to see dinosaurs.
Yeah, but you'd get eaten by one.
I would specifically request to time travel to like a location that is like a safe place to observe, you know?
Like, how is someone granting your request? Like, how does,
I don't
that,
know.
How does that work?
Yeah.
How does it work?
Is there a genie doing this?
I guess so.
Uh-huh. I mean, if there was like a genie, I could see it. If it was a machine, though, I think you just have to you plug it in.
I don't know that I would wing it.
You punch in the time and maybe the coordinates. That'd be really precise.
It would. What if I landed on the back of a T-Rex?
That would be terrifying.
Well, I mean, it would be cool for a couple seconds.
I will say, actually, if you have a decent grip on the T-Rex, not a bad place to time travel to. Because who's, who's coming for the T-Rex?
Nobody.
He's not going to be able to get you.
He cannot get you. Yep. Yeah. Those little arms. Those little baby T-Rex arms. He's just going to be like, cut it out.
It's like a ghost. We're back to the ghost.
Get off me. Get off me. Yeah, the ghost didn't make the podcast. So
that's true.
But then if I'm time traveling with a desk, I'm going to hurt the poor T-Rex landing on it with a desk.
Here's a question for the community building listeners. Did Corey, Jess, and I spend, I don't know, 5 minutes before the podcast talking about if ghosts' arms are actually their feet, or is that just a conspiracy?
That's a good question.
I think we all know the answer to that.
It doesn't seem like anything.
Yeah, doesn't seem like
definitely doesn't seem like something we would do.
Doesn't seem like something we would do. So he's gonna walk off. He, you know, he's dropped it. He's done. Right.
He believes Jeff. Mm-hmm. And he apologizes. And Jeff says he's never met that guy in his life.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I have never seen that guy in my entire life. She said, what? It's like, yeah, I totally made it up with a fake form with a phony teacher to get free credit. And I've never seen him before. She goes, what? He goes, I know. It's so good. And I laughed so hard. Joel McHale's just utter surprise and delight
really
at the
good.
Whole thing is so funny.
It's so fantastic.
I love it.
I feel like they nailed these characters like so, because we're in season two. Like they know these characters now. So Jeff, of course, doesn't care. He's like, I got away with it. What do I need to do with this? And Annie is like, we need to solve this mystery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm so perfect for the characters.
We're not going home till the mystery is solved.
Yeah. And I love how Jeff's like, Annie, can you be un-Annie-like and just blow it off?
Uh-huh.
And Annie's reaction is one of my favorite Annie
moments. Oh, sure. I'll blow it off. I'll just blow everything off. I'll blow off walking. she just like falls to the floor. This is no bones, right? When you have no bones and you're just human skin writhing on the ground. That's what a no bones day is, right?
Skin.
Yeah. So you're just human skin writhing around, wriggling on the floor. No bones day.
Maybe I'll blow off talking language. Blee, blah, blue, blah, blee, blee.
Yeah. And then the camera cut there is excellent. Really great. I want to see what happened after they called cut, because I imagine Allison Brie just being unable to get off the floor because she was laughing so hard.
So, Corey, I have a question for you, because in the past, we have discussed how, like, I mean, I'm very much like Annie, and you are very similar, you have said, to Jeff. Would your reaction been the same as Jeff's, where it's like, I got away with it, I don't need to investigate who this man is, let's move on? Or are you more like, I need to solve the mystery?
Yeah, so this is a very good question, because I do relate a lot to Jeff, including in this episode. I've even had a class that I signed up for online and figured out a way not to do anything for. And so I don't even remember what it was called, right? So
it learning exclamation point?
It could have been. I think I would have remembered that. But I relate to Jeff a lot in that way, but I am not like the... You know, I still like to explore and learn things too. I just mm-hmm. don't need to put forth a lot of effort to do it. So I'm not like Jeff and like this Jeff Winger never learns. That's not me. That part's not me. And probably I'm not as much of a narcissist either, although it's hard to say for sure.
You are not the one who can make that call, I don't think.
That's what I mean. You're not allowed to say that for sure. Mm-hmm. But I will say that, I would definitely want to learn more about what was going on, but I absolutely would need to do it in a way that did not sacrifice my free credit. So
of course,
that's what I think that's where I'd go. I'd want to look into it, but in a way, maybe it can't be traced back to me.
That makes sense to
Fair.
Me.
Fair.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So we're back in Abed's dorm. Pavel knocks on Abed's dorm room and he has to join them. And how would you characterize the amount of blankets and pillows you have? He says, a buttload. I get wicked cold, bros.
I get wicked cold. Wicked cold and mad sleepy.
I also I loved Troy trying to talk Polish there too. That was pretty great.
Yes.
We haven't
just like corn.
Corn you gubin blue.
I love the elaborate tents that they're creating, the tent city of mm-hmm. blankets. We'll spend a decent amount of time there. I could live in this world. I could live in the world that is just the blankets. I know that there's a bigger blanket episode coming up because mm-hmm. I've seen it.
This is the beginning.
This is where it starts.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. And I want to, you know, it has a very Star Wars vibe. There's sort of a Mos Eisley cantina thing going on, I feel like, with the various networks of blanket forts. I wanted to spend even more time here in this episode than we got. But the time that we did get to spend here was totally delightful.
Yeah. So we're now in the study room. Annie says she could bring her diorama to the bio-diorama-rama by herself. And I love her passively aggressively texting Jeff 11 times that she mm-hmm. could do it herself.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, you even work too hard at passive aggression. You know that? I feel Annie so much. I just love her. Annie borrowed a faculty directory and she's found out that Professor Professorson is actually Professor Woolley.
Professor Woolley, a time traveling woolly mammoth, perhaps.
Yes, he's not hairy. I mean, he could be hairier.
We don't know yet. It's not, you know,
but what we do know is he was already carrying around falsified faculty credentials.
Yeah. So there's a conspiracy.
Goes all the way to the top,
slightly below the middle.
And this is when Jeff gets a weird call with a voice modulator telling him to tell Annie to stop snooping. Otherwise, things might get explosive.
Right. And so he knows that the diorama is about to explode. He goes, Annie, no. And he throws her out of the way. And it is the most duddiest explosion. Yeah. That's it.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah, I was watching this in bed while Emily was asleep, and I cracked up so loud at that that I was so worried that I was going to wake her up.
That you're going to get a literal version of
a literal
of the
babe. An in-person babe. You really don't want those.
No, for sure.
They happen more than you know. You might be able to imagine.
I guess. Yeah.
So Jeff is now, he's incensed. He says, I hope you've already laid out your outfit for tomorrow morning because we're going night school.
It's a great line. We're going to night school. That's really
I also
good.
Love Jeff's like, I probably didn't need to tackle you there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They have a moment. They look at each other for a second.
They definitely do. Lingers. They have a little bit of a moment. Let us also have a little bit of a moment. I'm going to use this as an opportunity to take us to an ad break. We're going to throw this to our sponsors here for this episode of Community Building. When we come back, we will get to the bottom of this conspiracy that goes all the way to the slightly below the middle. Stay tuned. All right, we are back. For the patrons, we went nowhere. Another perk, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. No ads. Jess, guide us back to the blanket city.
So Leonard stole blankets from his son's house. So the fort has now extended outside of Abed's dorm. I love Troy bringing it back to these blankets will be perfect for Pierce's mom's memorial tunnel. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just perfect.
That's good.
So back in the hallway, Annie and Jeff are exploring the halls during night school. They're looking at the different courses. There's like strange names, principles of intermediate, studyology, class 101.
Class 101 is definitely my favorite. Class 101 is a great idea because that could be a class. How to do classes? How to do classes? You may need an introduction to that, guest.
Yeah, possible. Absolutely. Yeah. I was going to say, too, if we rewind back, when Annie gets out the faculty directory, too, you can see that Professor Woolley also teaches Introduction to Basics and Active Passivity.
How to be active passive.
That's right.
My these favorite has great to be classes. Learning with I an would exclamation
take a bunch
point.
Of these. I take a bunch of
yeah.
these.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like the aggression of learning with an exclamation point.
Learning.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you're really excited about it.
Yeah.
So they run into Professor Sin. He says he's teaching math. When they start asking for questions, he just says math words.
Yeah, algebra.
No, he doesn't even say that. He says pie. Numbers.
Yeah, pie. Yeah, pie is good.
And then he just runs away.
Yeah. And so this is when we get to the incredible chase scene through the blanket fort, where we learn the rules of Fluffy Town. No smoking, no farting, no pillow fighting.
Yeah. And Leonard already has three farting strikes against.
I mean, this is a great rule to have in place, probably for any community.
Any type of enclosed space.
But yeah, no farting in the blanket fort feels, you know, because then the whole town's a Dutch oven and that cannot be abided.
This is also a great Leonard episode. A lot of the side characters have a really good episode this episode.
Well, they're going through it, and then there's one point where Britta is just surrounded by like a harem of lovers in the blanket fort.
That was pretty good.
I want that episode that took her there. I want to know how that happened. That was incredible.
This is the adult blanket fort for her.
Yeah. So funny. That was great. It was just great to juxtapose that with how all of this was stupid and not a thing that she would do. And then there she is just being surrounded by the people and her being, oh, hey, everyone.
Yeah.
That's really it for Britta in this episode. I thought it was a really very perfect use of Britta. Leonard has three strikes for the farts.
Yeah, so they pass the Latvian Independence Parade, and I love Troy being like, don't look at me, they had the proper permits.
Yeah, oh yeah.
What do you want me to do about it?
And I heard a piece of trivia that this episode was released on Latvian Independence Day.
Oh, wow.
I don't know 100% if that's true, but if it is, that's pretty awesome.
That would be,
I want to believe that that's true.
So Jeff finally tackles the professor and he's like, okay, I'll show you. I'll show you what's going on. He brings him to a random classroom that just has printers, printing things, just tons of paper.
Yeah.
Killing trees.
This feels like when Charlie and Grandpa Joe get into Willy Wonka's office with Willy at the end of the movie.
Oh, sure.
There's all sorts of strange shenanigans happening in the office. All of the printers going just kind of reminds you. It's got big Wonka factory vibes for me.
I could see it.
Yeah. It's okay if you don't. You could just say, okay, and then we'll just move
just
on.
Meet Grandpa Joe.
One thing that I did want to point out is there were a lot of printed materials involved in this little scheme. You know, Annie had the entire faculty directory booklet of night school. All these course syllabi. All the syllabi. This feels really weird to say.
It sounds really weird to hear.
Syllabi.
Yeah, there were a lot of trees wasted on this little scheme. So yeah.
Greendale is not known for being green.
Well, you know, it's funny though, because this episode talks about how, you know, Annie's doing the diorama for like
the environmental group or something. Yeah.
And then as Jeff is going to the office, actually, earlier in the episode, I noticed that there was a sign that I thought was particularly funny that it's like, it actually is easy being green. It's like, that's so cheesy.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of a funny juxtaposition that I hadn't thought of before.
My mom works for an environmental company, and now I want her to use that on something.
Pass it along.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
So there's printers with tons of paper, and he says, "This
is night school." This is it.
It's all made up. figments, puffs of hot air from the lips of a ghost in the shadow of a unicorn's dream.
Well, I'm glad it's not puffs of hot air from the feet of a ghost.
That's true. That's a good point.
Which are also the ghost's arms. If you believe that we spoke about this,
if that was a
podcast,
conversation,
if that is happened. Indeed a conversation yeah. that happened before this podcast yes. occurred.
So Professorson says he used to be a student here at Greendale like Jeff. One day he invented a fake course to get a free credit. To keep up the lie, he had to create a fake teacher who needed other fake classes. So they go on and on and on.
Etc.
Ridiculous. I just love, did you just mispronounce et cetera?
It's like my Latin course was a fake, Jeff.
Et cetera. Yeah.
So Jeff immediately realizes that someone's trying to teach him something. And he says, Jeff, the only thing that's ever been learned in this room is regret. Would that this desk were a time desk so that I could correct my past mistakes. Right, dinosaurs. I didn't even realize
it. Yeah, right. Yeah. So that I could travel back in time, land precisely on the back of a Tyrannosaurus Rex, exactly where his tiny little baby arms couldn't catch me.
Fight with Jack the Ripper. Yeah. This is confusing. Is he trying to fight Jack the Ripper or like aid Jack the Ripper?
I think that Professorson and Corey, please interject if you think this is wrong, is recognizing the formidable foe he would be going up against in Jack the Ripper. And if you're going to take on Jack the Ripper, a legendary murderer who right. didn't get caught, you're going to want to bring a dinosaur to that
Absolutely.
Fight.
Absolutely. You need the dinosaur. So yeah. he's stopping in the past to get the dinosaur. Yes. And then he's going to Jack the Ripper. He's probably making the request to yes. go exactly where Jack the Ripper is. And then with the dinosaur, he can take on Jack the Ripper.
Pick up a T-Rex, go to Foggy London
Pick
Town.
Pick up a T-Rex.
Yeah, you get on the T-Rex, go to Foggy London Town, and you go to war with Jack the Ripper. That's it. History changed forever.
And presumably this is actually one of the plot lines in the Dean Desk.
Time Desk.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I love it because Jeff immediately catches on. He's like, this is ripped from the sure to be unpublished pages of Teen Dangerous. Yeah.
Yes.
So this is actually Professor Professorson, aka Professor Woolley, is actually Sean Garrity. And he's like, I'm so done playing this part. I'm glad that I've been caught. Apparently he scraped the dean's car. And he's paying him back in acting. So on Thanksgiving, he has to go crash his family dinner and accuse him of stealing my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd like to be a fly on the wall for that.
So Annie wants to call the dean, but Jeff comes up with a different idea. He asks if the theater department has prop guns that fire blanks.
Yes. And of course they do, because they just did a modern retelling of Macbeth set in Gangland, Chicago. And so this gives Jeff the idea that fuels the next several minutes of the episode, which is all involving prop guns. We are recording this in November of 2021, not terribly long after the horrific incidents involving prop guns on the set of Rust, the Alec Baldwin movie, where one of the members of the crew, Helena Hutchins, was killed in that accident. So this is, obviously that a horrible thing. And it's I think inspiring a lot of conversations about on-set safety protocols surrounding firearms, so many action movies that get made and prop guns being used. And a lot of actors, I think, and a lot of crew members who are coming out with a lot of different anecdotes of their own, getting into this conversation a little bit more. But for me, you know, we're watching this in a very specific context and time and place, and there was just no way for me to watch this scene without that being on my mind.
Yeah.
I don't know if this hit differently for either of you as well.
Yeah, it did for me. I definitely was thinking about it that way. I still could find the humor in it for sure, but it was something where it was on my mind the entire time. When that first started happening, it just immediately struck, and I was like, oh, it's definitely hits different.
I think if it's an action scene, that's different. But when the subject matter is literally about we're going to use prop guns right now, it was hard not to mentally go there, Jess.
Yeah, for sure. I felt it too. It's hard to watch it now, like knowing all of that information. It still is funny, but like it hits a little bit differently here, I think.
I think that the, you know, the utter sheer madness that ensues.
Yeah.
Like the nonstop bonkers ridiculousness that happens completely regrounded me in Greendale. But when he goes for the drawer and is literally asking about the prop gun, it was the first thing that came to mind. And then the scenes start to unfold. And quickly, it's so much less about prop guns and so much more about like psyops, you know, everybody just trying to wage war on each other's mental state. And I could not stop laughing as this thing just kept escalating and de-escalating and shifting and being completely unable to determine who was responsible. Where was this thing? You know, up was down, down was up, left was right. Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria type vibes.
Just when you think really it's finally like over and you've solved it, like something else happens.
Yeah.
So Annie and Jeff are in the study room, and Annie warns Jeff the dean is coming. So Jeff says to Dean that they've discovered Wooly. He's defrauded your school to the tune of dozens of credits per year and nearly twice as many dollars. And so the dean immediately is like, oh, well, I believe in second chances. Annie shoots Professor Professorson.
Yeah, she grabs a gun and it's shocking. And then the dean has a gun and he shoots Annie.
Yeah, so Jeff freaks out and shoots the dean. Yeah. And then Annie jumps up and asks why he shot the dean.
Yeah.
Apparently, Annie and Dean were in on this from the start. When he found out you were faking a class, he came to me and we cooked up this whole conspiracy thing to illustrate the slippery slope of academic fraud. And then Jeff basically says, you know what, Annie, you're a bad friend. Because once it was obvious,
he figured it out.
Yeah, because the dean, he says it was obvious the dean had orchestrated everything. It was even more obvious the dean was too stupid to orchestrate anything. Yeah.
And I love how the dean's like nodding. He's like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jeff helps the dean up, and Annie says she only did it because she loves him. Well, when you love someone, you have to take them as they are. People aren't playthings, Annie. And this is when Annie pulls out a different gun, aims it at Jeff. She says, and he asks why she has a gun. She says she lives in a terrible neighborhood, which we do. That storyline does continue.
Right. Yep.
And then she says, after we kissed, I waited all summer to see you. You buried me like a shameful secret. What's the matter, Jeff? Afraid crazy Annie would go crazy for you? Well, guess what? Annie's got a gun.
And she shoots him. And now Dean freaks out again.
Yes.
He can't keep track of any of this anymore.
No. Annie,
he just keeps teaming up with whoever says we should team up. And so Jeff says, well, I'm glad you're admitting it.
Yeah. So the dean screams.
Dean's acting here is amazing. Yeah. I love it so much. He's just like so distraught.
Yeah. And he says, but
I just wanted to have fun.
Yeah, I just wanted to have fun with them. Time travel's really hard to write about. Yeah. So Professor Garrity gets up.
I love that that Professor Professorson was shot only the one time and has been just sitting there the whole time through all
just
of this.
Watching all
still
of this.
Pretending to be dead.
Yeah,
probably not even watching, probably just listening, right? He's like, let's count the gunshots.
Yeah.
So he says he's going to take the prop guns back to the theater department, and a cop busts through the door, shoots Garrity, and then Garrity gets up and says, and scene.
And scene.
So the cop explains that Professor Garrity called him, told him what everybody was up to, and it made him mad. Guns aren't toys. In 100% of all fake gun-related shootings, the victim is always the one with the fake gun.
Hey.
And the dean asks Garrity if he's still on for Thanksgiving. Garrity tells Dean to talk to his father.
Yeah.
And this is when we get one of the dean's like probably most famous lines and most quotable lines is, would that this hoodie were a time hoodie.
I would love a time hoodie. I think time hoodie solves a lot of the questions that we had been asking
about being
earlier.
Naked. Yeah.
Yeah.
Better than a desk.
True.
For sure.
True. Well, but it can't hold as many things. I still would take the desk. I don't know.
The hoodie has pockets, though.
Yeah, but the desk has drawers.
How much are you bringing with you?
I
mean,
Corey,
how long are you gonna
stay know
there?
The, I don't know. I think you want the hoodie because it's going to be on your person. You know,
but you can
so
bring
if you
a
need...
hoodie in your time desk.
Yes, I understand that. But what if you have to travel through time in a hurry? You want the hoodie. You're wearing it.
I think so.
Maybe,
I'm on
maybe
Josh's
it's like
side
a, maybe it's a.
What are you doing
like
with the desk? You lugging it everywhere you go?
Yeah, no, maybe it's a situational thing. Like if you're planning on camping out back in time, then you bring the desk. And
if
you find a good
if
place
you are
to go.
Traveling back to the safe vista where Jess is watching the dinosaurs,
right?
Bring the desk.
Right.
Yeah.
I could see the utility of a hoodie in like quick situations where you're in and out or you just
need to
move
quickly. You want fast travel. Yeah. Fast time travel.
That's
you want
fair.
The hoodie.
That's fair. Yeah. I could see it.
I think so.
So yeah. The Jeff asked the dean about that credit. We're back in the blanket fort. Abed's talking to the group and he says, Jeff is, I'm not sure what lessons we managed to take away, teach each other, but I'm proud of Annie. She took to deception like Abed took to Cougar Town.
Mm-hmm.
Which Abed like nods. He's like, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And Pavel shows Troy and Abed they've made the front page of the newspaper. So now they've gone mainstream. So they have to initiate protocol Omega.
Mm-hmm.
And they pulse two socks and the entire fort goes down.
Done. Yeah. They're able to pull the whole thing. They had the emergency switch the whole time.
Yeah.
Good construction in
it
the
is.
It is.
But what if, I mean, that is a if they made enemies of anybody at any point during this, and certainly someone who was
I think they had to both pull them at the same time though. So I do think that's a fail safe. It seemed as though they had to synchronize the pull of both sides, which might make it more difficult for somebody to sabotage.
Was it not close enough that you could just, you know?
No, I think they did it on purpose, so you have to have two people do it.
I mean, maybe if you're tall enough and your wingspan is wide enough.
There's an episode of The Leftovers that shows you how to do this. That's all I'm going to say. And it has something to do with a submarine, not a cardboard submarine, which is what they're going to start working on next.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Leonard has started looting.
Why? The looting has begun.
Yes. And we get our after credit scene. Troy and Abed are in the study room creating a story one word at a time, which Troy does not contribute to hardly at all.
I actually really think this is funny. I needed to be reminded of it. It wasn't super memorable for me. I watched this last night right before I was going to sleep in bed, as I mentioned before, in my own blanket fort. With tons of pillows and blankets.
And?
That's it. That's all.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. And my cats and my wife and me. And that's it. That was what was there.
Okay.
I don't know. I get mad sleepy and cold. So I have a ton of blankets and pillows.
We get cold, bro.
So I had kind of forgotten the scene. So it's not super memorable, but this is a pass or fail course. This is a pass for me. You know, it's maybe not a top tier end credit scene, but I think it's got to be a Streets Ahead unless anyone here disagrees.
Yeah, I'll raise my hand there. I'm saying Streets Behind for this one. I love this episode. In fact, I don't think that this really like makes the episode worse. Like, it's not going to affect my rating, but at the same time, I don't know. I just didn't really think it was that funny. Personally, yeah. I thought that it was cute. You know, like I thought that it was cute.
It's cute,
was
not
like,
hot.
Yeah, cute, not hot. Exactly. And it was, it just felt like there could have been something else there. I don't know. It just didn't really click with me. I liked it in, like, it wasn't bad, but I just didn't really think it was, as you said, Josh, that memorable. And I didn't really even think it was that funny. I just thought it was cute. You know, just like a little fun moment that you could see between them. It just didn't seem like it deserved to be there.
And you're trying to infuse meaning in our rankings of the end credits here. You don't want these all to just be passes.
No, but I'm not doing it to be a contrarian either.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Just to give it a reference.
Want there to be some standards is what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I gave it a Streets Ahead. I love Donald Glover and the different ways he can say the word and.
It's
like
good.
when Abed is like romance and he goes, and like he's like, I'm not into romance, and then he says karate and he's like, and like very excited.
Yeah.
I love any Troy and Abed end scene is gonna automatically give me a like a little bit, it's more of a chance of getting a streets ahead.
All right, let's do F community feedback. Of course, community@postshowrecaps.com or communitybuilding@postshowrecaps.com is gonna be the ticket. This is from Riley. Riley, who has this as a number 7 overall episode of Community. Wow. I mean, I totally get it. I loved this episode. I thought it was incredible. Riley says, I absolutely adore how this episode does homages to conspiracy and mystery thrillers. And also, this episode is one of my areas to point to for why I love Jeff and Annie's dynamic. I think Joel McHale and Allison Brie have incredible chemistry. And the Jeff and Annie pairing here is absolutely hysterical. This is Jeff at his most Jeff in an actually charming way. Annie's going full Annie, and they play off of each other so well. Plus, the Ovid and Troy Blankenfort subplot is freaking hysterical and sums up why these two are considered the best characters of the show. Absolutely ridiculous and hilarious, but also kind of heartwarming and showing the sort of friendship I think we all wish we had. This episode is freaking perfect. Top five baby, says Riley, even though it's number seven overall.
Yeah, I agree with him. I think that, like, this is a good episode to point to as to why, like, Jeff and Annie make a good pair, right? Like, debate 109 and every ninth episode, apparently, is a good episode for Jeff and Annie. I think, like, they do have good chemistry. Obviously, Troy and Abed have great chemistry. They have tons of moments together. But yeah. I really think this is just a – and, I mean, and not only that, but I think this is kind of, like, the Dean's best episode to date, right, Corey? Like, this is where he shows – the most Dean.
Corey, you're muted. We can't even hear what you're saying.
Did you accidentally turn your microphone off?
Oh my
off?
Gosh, Corey, we can't. Is it a conspiracy? Corey, you've muted yourself again. You're only supposed to do that at the end of the podcast. You're not supposed to mute yourself until the podcast is over. Is Corey actually muted, or is this another conspiracy? It's hard to know. Well, while Corey problem solves his microphone issue, I would recommend a departure and a return might be something that could be arranged. So Corey's going to figure out his microphone issues. We'll keep going with the F community feedback. This is from Ryan. Ryan wrote in and said, the only thing wrong with this episode is it isn't an ensemble episode. Shirley and Pierce have nothing at all, and Britta has almost nothing. This isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it keeps the episode from being perfect. I do think I need to know if we – does Shirley do anything in this episode?
The only thing she says – the only thing Shirley says is that Britta should be nicer. She doesn't have, like, any other lines. Pierce doesn't even have a single line, I don't believe. They just – they pan to him at one point, and he, like, nods or looks confused or something.
Yeah. Corey, do you want to unmute yourself and weigh in on Pierce and Shirley in this episode?
Yeah, I'm unmuted now.
Oh, we got him.
Here I am. I'm here. I think that's right about Shirley and Pierce for sure. I think that sometimes not having Pierce at all can be a good thing. So, that part I'm fine with.
So he's completely missing from the episode.
He's there. He's physically but he doesn't present, have lines.
But there's no focus on him at all.
He's wearing all black.
Yeah.
And I think, like,
does Shirley say anything in this episode?
She only tells Britta she should be nicer. That's, like, her only line.
Okay.
I think the thing is
I think I'm going to have to give Shirley a one just for, like, existing in the episode. I don't like that. I don't like to give Shirley that low of a score.
I'm sorry.
That doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
I think that, like, the thing I agree with Ryan, and this is where I struggled with my personal rating of the episode, because I agree. It's an ensemble show. And so is it fair to give this episode a perfect score when not every single character is represented?
Yes, 100% it is. Absolutely.
So what I ended up
some of the best
coming...
episodes of Lost have, just a few of the characters.
Yeah,
I decided to do the Ben Taub method of in the airtime the characters got, was it good airtime, right? Like, was the moments they got good moments? Even if not every single character is necessarily represented. And I came to the conclusion that, yeah, you know what? Maybe if we take time away from the blanket fort and the conspiracy theory storyline to give Pierce a line or two, it's going to make the episode worse.
Yep.
So instead of docking it points because of that, I didn't end up doing that. But I don't necessarily disagree with Ryan's point.
Yeah.
It's nice to have an ensemble episode, but I don't think it hurt the episode in any way.
Yeah.
Yes. From a new patron of Post Show Recaps in the Discord, Jan, I'm so sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name. Please correct me. I would love to be corrected. Writes in and says, I've always loved how aware the show is about the likability of our main characters. We love them, obviously, but to the people around them, they often come off as inconsiderate, self-absorbed jerks. I mean, what will the other students think when they hear gunshots on school grounds? It's a very good point.
That, yeah.
Very inconsiderate behavior. And just to teach each other lessons, since you're docking points from Pierce for every horrible thing he says, should Annie be docked points for her involvement in this atrocity? Just asking for a friend, you know, because I myself love Annie, is the end of the comment. It's a very good point.
Except I won't be docking any points.
Yeah, because it's so funny. And also, isn't it nighttime? And
no
so
this, one's there.
It's just night school, folks. And night school is a ruse anyway.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
No one takes night school courses.
I would say that if you docked points from Annie, it would have to be some sort of thing where you sort of conspire to do it. And then you never know if someone else is going to conspire to dock points from somebody else. And then
that's exactly.
It's going to be an issue long term.
Okay, so here he comes, the birthday king, Eric Divestein, who's talking about the many layers of conspiracy in this episode that are intentionally confusing. He's never tried to make sense of everything, so he's now going to try and assemble the real order of events. So this is according to Eric. This is what's going on.
I think I co-signed this.
Okay. I may have questions. I expect I will. Okay. So thing one. Jeff makes up a fake class to get an easy credit.
Check.
Dean figures it out and enlists Annie and Garrity to help teach Jeff a lesson using the Professorson cover, the Wooly persona, and the deeper fake night school ruse.
Check. Mm-hmm.
Jeff goes down the rabbit hole figuring out this conspiracy while the other three act their parts.
Yes, sounds I right? think that makes sense. Yep.
Jeff eventually figures out the truth that Wooly is actually Garrity, and Garrity comes clean and admits the Dean's involvement, but not Annie's involvement.
Yeah, it can't be Annie, because at this point, Jeff cannot know that Annie was involved. So that makes sense. That's probably one of the bigger details that we have to get right here. I also
yes.
have a suspicion that Garrity walked past the office intentionally. But yeah. that doesn't necessarily have to do with the order of events.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so Jeff conspires with Annie to teach the Dean a lesson by orchestrating the fake shooting of Garrity. He borrows a prop gun from Garrity, who agrees to play his role in this ruse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, check. Annie, still intent on teaching Jeff a lesson, rats out Jeff's plan. So now all this stuff is happening before the final act. Rats out
right.
Jeff's plan to the Dean, and they orchestrate the fake shooting of Annie. They also borrow a prop gun from Garrity.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of prop guns. And
so at this point, Jeff still does not know yet that Annie is involved in any of this.
Right. So
right.
Now Jeff comes to suspect that Annie has been playing him. So he conspires with the Dean, who is just happy to be included, to teach Annie a lesson about friendship by orchestrating the fake shooting of the Dean. And again, they get Garrity to loan a prop gun.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the all-knowing person in all of this is Garrity.
Annoyed that the Dean is agreeing to everything, Jeff comes clean to Annie about his plan, and they conspire to teach the Dean a lesson by orchestrating the fake shooting of Jeff. And again, they get Garrity to loan a prop gun.
Yes.
Good thing he has enough.
He has so many. Garrity has had enough and orchestrates a final fake shooting of himself with the cop.
Check.
Everything, the plan unfolds, and as it happens, Garrity's knowing everything. Jeff and Annie know about everything up to and including step 8, and the Dean knows everything up to and including step 7. Everything before that is just acting. Yeah, I think that that's a pretty clean line of how this all played out.
Thank you, Eric Divestein. You're a legend.
It's helpful, for sure.
I loved reading this.
Yeah. All
now
right.
I know.
So let's do the meow meows. And this was one of the most straightforward meow meow bean processes for myself. Chang's not in the episode, right? He doesn't even exist in the episode.
He is not in the episode.
So that's a bagel. Pierce is hardly in it. That's a one. I gotta give Shirley a one. She's not really in it. I don't remember anything that she does. So she gets a point for being in the episode. I hate doing it because I love Shirley. I'm giving Britta a 3. She's barely in it. The one moment that she has, I think, is hysterical. I really love that. And then it's a very clean 5 for Jeff and Annie and Abed and Troy. I enjoy all of their roles in this episode very, very, very much. This is probably my favorite Jeff Winger episode yet.
That's fair.
Is what I would say. That this is
he's his most fun in this
it's
episode.
It's so fun. Joel McHale is so fun. He's having such a good time with it. Really exceptional stuff from Jeff. If I had to put one character past the other 3 of this 4, Jeff would be my MVP of the episode.
Mm.
So those are my meow meows. With Annie really close behind. Mm. The blowing everything off scene is really amazing. Blee, blah, 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 blee. Yeah, it was very, very good. Corey B., take us away with your meow meow.
Yeah, absolutely. I, too, gave both Jeff and Annie a 5. I thought this was a perfect use of Jeff. I agree a lot with what Riley said, that it's a lot of his character flaws, but in an actual charming way. I think Riley said that perfectly, because a lot of times they actually make Jeff in a way where he's like, oops, I forgot that I had good social connections with the rest of the study group, and I'm now accidentally being mean to them. And I think this is just, it's just fun. It doesn't make Jeff a wholesome person, but it makes it just, you can just have fun and watch along. And the chemistry with Annie is really great. Annie, for obvious reasons, this is a really great episode for her. Trust me, I would love to have come onto an episode and rated Annie poorly, just for fun. But but I couldn't do that this episode. She's fantastic. She did it's incredible Annie episode too. I do think Jeff would, if we're doing tiny decimal points, be doing an actual ranking would be a little higher for me. But both fantastic. Chang 0, Pierce 1, for same reasons as you, Josh. I gave Shirley, I gave her a 1.5 because I just wanted her to be a little higher than Pierce.
That's totally fair. And I already feel bad not having done that. But.
Yeah. I also gave Britta a 1.5. She wasn't really there. And I just thought that, I don't know. I didn't really love the first line that she gave. I did think the scene of her in the blanket fort was pretty funny though. So maybe I scored her a little too low, but I'll stick with it for now. Yep. Troy and Abed, I gave Abed a 3 and Troy a 4. I do think that Troy and Abed's storyline for me was a little less fun than the conspiracy theory plotline, but I love how it intermingled in. Troy had some amazing lines. Abed is always great. I just didn't necessarily think that there was anything that stood out as like peak Abed for me. It's probably also, again, me being a little too critical, because Abed probably could be a 5 every single episode, but yeah, that's what I chose to do. So, I think that's where I stand.
Those are your meows. Jess Throwing, take us through your meow meows.
So Chang and Pierce both got 0s for me. Pierce didn't utter a single line, so I was not feeling bad about giving him a 0.
Sure.
I gave Shirley a 1.5. She's like present and she does tell Britta to be nicer, but like that's about it. Britta gave a 2. I would have given her a 2.5, but I don't like how she says that blanket forts are for children. Like, don't try to ruin people's fun, Britta. Like, okay, come on. And when she says it, she does this like hair flippy thing.
Yeah, she flips her hair.
But then she goes in.
But I just didn't like it. And I gave Troy and Abed 4.5. I hesitated to give them full 5s because they have full 5 episodes.
Yeah.
And I just think like this isn't the episode to give them the full 5. So I gave them 4.5. Jeff and Annie, obviously full 5s. There's not a chance I'm not giving them both full 5s in this episode. They're both fantastic. They're hilarious together. I think exactly what Corey and Riley said about Jeff, like this is actually a fun version of Jeff. It's really rare that we get to see him like leaning in to the fun. And so that I had to give him the full 5. And we've had some changes in our character rankings. We still have Troy and Abed leading the pack. But now Annie is in 3rd place, which is pretty amazing considering where she was last season. She's really pulled ahead now.
She's rising. Annie rising. Yes.
Jeff is in 4th. He's bumped up a couple places, followed by Britta. Shirley has fallen to 6th place.
She had nothing to do this week. So that she had sucks. Nothing to That's do. Really tough. That's really
tough. The
good news
for her is she's maintaining a significant lead over Pierce and Chang, who are in 7th and 8th. So good. That's good news for Shirley. She's 0.5 behind Britta. So it's not like she's really far behind. She has plenty of time to make that up.
Totally.
On to the Dean's list, which... pretty obvious for all of us, I think.
Yeah.
I did
make a change. And I don't think that you'll be mad about this. So
not super mad.
Jess, you put Dean on the Dean's list. Corey, you said Officer Kukowski, but really the Dean. So
it's just me wanting to give honorable mention to Officer Kukowski.
I understand.
Who is a recurring character. And I appreciated his performance and also being like, hey Sean, like what are you doing for breakfast? And he's like, or do you have plans for breakfast? I do now. I got to give it to the Dean. I just wanted to sort of give a little nod to who it would be
totally.
If the Dean was not eligible for the Dean's list.
I was going to give it to the Dean, but I didn't want this episode to go without having a historical record of Professor Professorson.
Fair enough.
And Dean's going to have so many different passes. And I want to say that, like, my heart is to the Dean. You know, I think the Dean is so funny in this.
It's the Dean's list after all.
Just it really is, and he's gonna win it again, and you'll have to just double up the Dean for the
even
season
more
three
Dean.
Theme.
Yeah,
even more Dean. But I don't want to live in the world where we don't have Professor Professorson on this list that stares me in the face every single time we sit down to do community building. Mm. So I'll be the one who gives one to Professor.
So to be clear, are you giving one to Professor Professorson and not Sean Garrity?
Yeah, it's for Professor Professorson specifically.
Just making sure.
Yeah. It is. It
amazing.
Is
amazing.
All right, let's rate the episode. I mean, what's there to say? It's a 4.
It's a 4.
It's a cool. Cool. It's a cool 4 rating. This was one of my favorite episodes of the show by a lot. I really loved it. This was a real blast. And when I fired up the episode at the start of it, I expected to enjoy it, but I did not expect to love it. And I totally loved this episode.
Can I go on a quick little mini rant? I gave this episode a 4, of course. I think it's completely deserving of a 4. I will just say there's lots of people who I know and love in the Post Show Recaps Discord who gave it a 3.9 only because there was an episode that they thought was better. But I just want to remind everybody, these are ratings and not
this
rankings.
This is how Corey feels about ratings.
Right? These are ratings, which means that two things can be a 4, even though one might be slightly better than the other, because you're not directly comparing them to one another. So you can rate something a 4 and rate something else a 4 and still think that one episode is better than the other. All right. So, that's it. That's all I wanted to say.
That's it. That's fair.
That is completely fair. And that is actually one of the reasons why I gave it a 4, not a 3.9, is because I also saw, I have the privilege of owning the spreadsheet, and I saw what the audience gave it, which is a 3.83. Mm-hmm. So if you love this episode and you think it deserves a 4, send in your ratings, because every rating matters and it will bump up the average. Same thing if you feel like it doesn't deserve a 4, send in your ratings. So the current average is a 3.94, which means it is currently in first place for the season overall by 0.01 against Epidemiology. Now, I personally feel this is a better episode than Epidemiology. And so I had to give it a 4 because there was not a way I was going to give it 3.9, therefore making it below Epidemiology. I just think it's a better episode. I think it's a perfect episode, even though it doesn't have a shining moment for every single character. I think that's okay. We don't have to have every single character having every single good moment, because the more you're pulling away from the conspiracy theories and the blanket fort moments to go to Pierce or Shirley probably isn't making the episode much better, because they're not in those scenes and maybe they don't need to be. And so I think it can be a perfect episode of Community. Like Corey was saying, I think there are episodes that are better than this. It's not my number one favorite episode of all time, but a lot of episodes of Community are a 4.
Yeah. I think it's my favorite episode of season 2 so far. I'm looking at the top 4 of season 2 so far, and I think all of that is right. And I'm not looking at my scores right now, so I don't know where I rated some over the others, but the ones that really, really stand out to me from season 2 so far are Basic Rocket Science and this one are kind of the two that are immediately coming to mind for me as revelations, probably because I'd seen Epidemiology already and I'd seen Cooperative Calligraphy, that those don't feel new to me in the same way that Basic Rocket Science felt really new to me and this one as well. I'm happy with the top 4 right now. And it does make me feel like I want to bump up my Basic Rocket Science score a little bit, but
yeah,
you
gave this episode a 4, you gave Epidemiology a 3.9, Cooperative Calligraphy a 3.8, and Basic Rocket Science you gave a 3.7.
Well, yeah, I would say my Basic Rocket Science score should be higher than those two.
Would you like me to change it?
Nope.
Okay.
Let's keep it.
Yes, I can.
We'll keep it. You know, I don't want to mess around with too much stuff. I locked it in on a podcast. But I can tell you what I'm feeling weeks later, which is an important thing to clock.
Yeah, of course. I think this is the run of Community people talk about. Like, this is the point in the show where people love this specific set of episodes.
Yeah.
And I think that, for me, I think Cooperative Calligraphy is the best. but I gave fours to this episode, Cooperative Calligraphy, and Epidemiology. And I think they all deserve fours. So really, we're like picking nits at that point. They're Fair all enough. Great episodes.
Fair enough.
And if you prefer an ensemble type of episode, Epidemiology is more your vibe.
Yeah.
But great episode overall. I think like everybody can agree it is super like fun. A pretty good episode of the
community, supremely so. Fun. Next week's episode should be pretty fun. Another one that I've seen. It's been a while though. Mixology Certification, Season 2, Episode 10. And look at this. Is this real? Is this our guest? Is this who we've got coming to the podcast, Jess?
This is real.
Chappelle.
He's coming back. If you listened to the patron-only experience, you'd have heard from him. But he specifically requested this episode. Amazing. So very excited to get Chappelle back on the podcast proper.
I'm talking to him later tonight as we are recording this live because we've got Walking Dead to talk about this evening. So I'm very excited about that. That's going to be super fun. So that'll be next week's podcast, Mixology Certification with special guest Chappelle. Corey B, special guest this week, although special guest every single week as you are on every episode of Community Building. You are, I hate to tell you this, but you are muted again. It has happened. Whatever is happening, he left. He disappeared. I don't know what. Is it a bit? Is it a bit, Jess? Is it real? Well, okay, he came back. Let's see. Did it work?
All right,
can we hear? Yeah, he's back.
What is that? I don't know what's going on.
Someone keeps cutting your mic.
I know, it's a conspiracy.
Oh my God. Is this a bit?
No.
Is it though?
I would not do this intentionally.
Corey B, what do you got going on right now?
Give us all
the things that you've been working on. Much of it is for the patrons of Post Show Recaps.
Yeah, absolutely. If you are a patron of Post Show Recaps, you know that I am the creator of the Wario Casino. We just released some new fun stuff over there, and it's always a good time. The whole Discord.
The weather just changed.
The weather just changed. It's the new weather.
You can play tennis as a patron of Post Show Recaps.
You can't. You can play tennis
with your fellow patrons.
Your fellow patrons. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that's pretty exciting. So I've got that going on as always. I do a lot of podcasts with Wombat Water, and we just did a podcast that I hosted about coconut water, including Jess's star co-host Sarah Ferguson as well.
Ooh.
So that's a great episode. We actually just released.
How do we feel about coconut water generally?
Yeah. It's a good question. I personally am not the biggest fan of coconut water, but that's why I hosted, because I could sort of be a neutral party.
Someone who needs to be impressed, right. Basically,
exactly.
Right? Yes. Yeah.
But we had, we had a coconut opening contest and we had a coconut water chugging contest on that podcast, which we also just released video
ridiculous.
For. It's pretty amazing. So you check that out. We're at Wombat Water on Twitter, wombatwater.com. Got some new stuff coming out there as well. I also am a guest on a podcast called Community Building, which I think that episode's going to come out pretty soon as well. So
that should come out pretty soon. Yeah, make sure you check that out. Corey B with a co-starring role on every episode.
That's right. I will be here next week too, by the way. I know Chappelle's probably like the bigger get, but I'll be in the background on mute. So.
Yeah, you'll be muted until we tell you to unmute. We should have a Corey B soundboard, Jess, is something.
That would be very fun.
That'd be amazing.
That we should have.
And it has to have the babu da bibu.
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think this is something that we should invest in for the future of community building.
I like it.
Is it a conspiracy that Corey B and community building have the same initials?
It might.
Is it a coincidence or is this some sort of conspiratorial happening?
We'll have to see how far up it goes.
To the just below the middle.
At least there,
Corey B, when is the pizza sequel podcast happening on Wombat Water? I'm ready to go. Tell me when.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
I'm ready. Okay. You just tell me when. Okay. Tell me what you need. Tell me when you want me, where to go, and I'm ready.
We're gonna do it then. I'm gonna get it going.
Just let me know the date. Tell me what to bring. I'm there.
Okay.
I'm ready to eat some pizza on a podcast.
Yeah,
again.
If you haven't heard the pizza part one.
I want to build another Domino's pizza, or maybe we do a different chain this time.
We could even do a different chain. Yeah. What? And you pioneered the alliance on Wombat Water, which is pretty.
Has that taken on?
I don't think it's happened again since.
No,
I think people are not.
No,
doing
I'm the only
research.
One who's a really bad sport who tries to game the system.
Well, yeah. It's pizza we're talking about here, Josh. So yeah. I understand.
It's your domain.
Yeah. No. All right, Jess. What kind of shit have the '90s taught you recently?
So recently we talked some Runaway Bride. That podcast will be coming out this Saturday. So if you're not a patron, hey, it's out today. Go listen to it. We had on Kears, who was actually also on a Wombat Water Wombat Water Coconut Water podcast.
Yes.
It was so much fun. We talked a lot about like wedding dresses. If that interests you, we had a lot of opinions on wedding dresses and wedding engagement rings specifically, because she had some hideous rings. And then, of course, December is coming up. So keep an eye on those podcast feeds, because we're going to have a lot of holiday content coming out. And that is at Shit90s Pod, Twitter, Instagram, shit90spod.com. Go find us. It's a fun
Check
time.
It out. Jess is also on the Succession podcast here on Post Show Recaps alongside Grace Leader. And Grace was also on Dexter New Blood this past week.
Amazing.
We've got so much HBO stuff that's happening. It's Succession, it's Curb, it's Insecure. We've got Dexter from the Showtime on Sunday night. We've got all the Walking Deads, which I'm about to go off and do a podcast about here shortly. We have 1,000 different podcasts. It's not quite that many, but there are so many different podcasts that we are doing right now. We'd love for you to take a listen. Please consider doing it. Wherever you get your podcasts, we are available to you, whether or not you want to become a patron of Post Show Recaps. But if you do, you get to play games that are invented by Corey B., such as the Wario Casino. That's and if right. you've got any questions about the Wario Casino, Corey is the one to ask. He will tell you absolutely everything about what's going on with the changing weather and all the various games you can play. You can get poisoned now.
You can. Isn't that
Doesn't
exciting?
That sound Don't fun? Don't you want to come?
Sounds great.
Sign up. Patreon.com/postshowrecaps. Get poisoned in the Post Show Recaps Patreon.
We're not support the arts is done. Get poisoned is in.
Get poisoned. Sign
you know
up. Patreon.com.
The song, isn't there a song? It's like, that girl is poisoned.
Yeah.
That's all I can think of right
now. How about
now.
This? Patrons are poisoned.
Boom, ba-da, boom, ba-da.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. I think that's good.
I hope people listen to all the plugs just for that.
Yeah, me too.
Me too. If they cut out already, they really they missed it. Out. They really did. So you're getting poisoned at patreon.com/postshowrecaps.
Hashtag get poisoned.
Hashtag get poisoned. So this is the part where I say, Corey B., take us away. But do you want to be really meta, Corey? And do you want to end the podcast this week?
Oh, sure. Yeah. All right. Let's see. I gotta like clone myself here so that I can immediately sing the song. Okay. All right. It's off screen for the video, people.
Yes.
All right. Me, take it away.
This is a show about a dean that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess here till it ends. Meet up to pass or fail, dream deal with all of our friends.